Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome everybody. It is Saturday, July 17th, 2010, and we are doing a show to remember our good friend, Aneke. Michelle?
It is with a sad heart that I have to report that our dear friend Aneke passed on July 13th, 2010. We want to personally thank all of our friends, family, and fans that sent such kind words and support during this difficult time in our lives. It is funny how dogs affect our lives like they do. Aneke touched so many lives in his 10 years with us, and we want to share his story as a tribute to him and all those he made smile. Robert also has done a movie called Remembering Aneke, an iMovie, that is available on his website, robertforto.com, for you to download and watch. It is truly moving, and I invite everyone to take the time to watch Remembering Aneke on robertforto.com. It was a cold and snowy morning in Denver in March of 2000 when Robert and I arrived at the cargo area at Denver International Airport. We were picking up a dog that we had rescued from a foster family in Washington State. We were expecting a white Siberian, but we were mistaken. It was a striking black and white male with ice blue eyes and missing one of his long canine teeth. In 2000, email was not the preferred communication medium yet, and Facebook was not even heard of. So when we contacted the foster family in Washington, it was almost by accident. While we shared many email messages and phone calls, and when Aneke arrived, we had no idea that this dog would change our lives forever. We had already named him Aneke before his arrival. His name is spelled I-N-E-K-A. It means rescued friend in a Northern Native American dialect, and he truly lived up to it as soon as he arrived. Robert and I loaded our new dog, who was supposedly four at the time, but we soon found out through a dental exam he was closer to two, and drove up to the mountains to our Bailey, Colorado home. We were in the process of starting training for an Iditarod attempt in 2003, but Robert had not moved here full-time yet from Minnesota, and our dogs were just beginning their racing careers. I guess you can say that we were a work in progress. We had a rough-and-tumble batch of Siberians in Colorado, most of them rescues and B-team members from other mushers. We had started training on the cart on the dirt roads in our neighborhood, and when we arrived with Aneke, we were thankful for the fresh snow on the ground. Robert has owned a lot of Siberians over the years, starting with his first one, Axel, in 1987, and then Rucker and Reich that he purchased from a kennel in Georgia, and becoming hooked on the sport of dog sledding when the breeder said, "Do you want to go for a ride?" We hooked up a team of Siberians, and off we went through the Smoky Mountains. But for some reason, Aneke was different. He captured Robert's heart from that first day, and we quickly decided that he would be the house dog. This holds a special place for a sled dog because many never get to feel the comforts of laying in front of the fireplace or an occasional scrap from the family leftovers. The next morning, we took the dogs out of the kennel, put them in harness, and hooked them up for a run in the fresh snow. We brought Aneke out and put on a black harness, and he went wild. Robert is a firm believer that Siberians were born to pull, and Aneke was no different. We hooked him up into team position right in front of the wheel dogs, and away we went down the road. Aneke was a natural. He pulled like he had been doing it for years. When Robert barked out the commands, gee and haw and hike and whoa, his ears turned back like he knew what Robert was talking about. Could this dog have been a sled dog in a previous life? Could he be a lead dog too? Within days, Aneke was settled into his new home and quickly became what we called him for the rest of his days, Sergeant Aneke. He was the sergeant of the kennel, constantly breaking up scuffles and keeping the dogs in line when they chose to goof off. Aneke seemed to possess that rare trait of a true alpha dog, and for whatever reason, every dog that approached him showed him the utmost respect. It's hard to describe in words, but if you have seen it, you know what I mean. The days passed with Robert working in the office and training in the night hours with me and the kids following him in the van. While Robert was traveling at breakneck speeds on a three-wheeled cart on a sheet of ice, what stories we could tell. After our runs, Robert would always go to the fridge that we had in our basement where he kept his cheese stash, and Aneke and he would share a hunk. Robert quickly learned that cheese, pizza, and spaghetti were Aneke's favorites, and we made it a point of our daily ritual all the way up until the day he passed. Over the next few months, spanning through the summer and into the fall and early snow of winter, Aneke was placed in all the positions in the team, both the A team and our B team of ragamuffins, and he seemed to excel at all of them. He soon began running in lead and training puppies to learn the ropes and harness. That winter, we started running our first races as a team and didn't do well. Robert had always been a mid-distance musher and ran mostly recreationally in Minnesota, up to 45 miles at a stretch. We had no idea how to train or run a sprint race, and we were sorely beaten by every team. But it sure was fun. We introduced our three kids, Kyle, who was 8 at the time, Tyler, 5, and Nicole, 3. While Kyle and Tyler were away at school, Nicole would help out in the kennel, and Aneke was always there to protect her from the other dogs should they come too close. Nicole was introduced into the dog training world and quickly became quite the little handler. All three of the kids ran races that first year, with Nicole competing in a 100-yard dash with her lead dog, Tamaya. Over the years, we got out of mushing for what I like to call life getting in the way. I took a job in Denver as a paralegal. Robert was completing his doctorate dissertation research and was soon defending his work, Chasing the Dream, a study of human-canine communication in the sport of dog sledding. Robert moved full-time to Denver in October of 2006 and joined me and the kids and soon opened Denver Dog Works. Upon opening Denver Dog Works, Aneke would come to work with us every day, and he would continue his task of keeping all the dogs in line during playtime in the yard. And we used him constantly in our growl classes and any time we needed a dog to demonstrate with or be a decoy for. He earned his keep and was paid handsomely in cheese and affection. About this time, I grew tired of the mundane work as a paralegal of a big-time law firm and soon quit to work with Robert full-time at Denver Dog Works. I began to utilize Aneke as a therapy dog, and we found that he had tremendous patience with a gaggle of kids during our sled dog presentations at local elementary schools. In July 2009, we moved into our new location on Parker Road, and Aneke was starting to show signs that he was not feeling well. After numerous trips to the veterinarian, we concluded that he was most likely suffering from an illness closely related to Alzheimer's, commonly called canine dementia. Aneke didn't go to work with us much anymore, but Robert's task had changed a bit, and he spent more time at his home office promoting Denver Dog Works and our new business, Twine Group Media, a publishing company for his new book, Run with Poodles. He spent his mornings with Aneke by his side until the symptoms of his illness started to worsen. The most visible were the almost constant pacing and inability to settle down. In the fall of 2009, his vigor for running the Iditarod resurfaced, having invited veteran Iditarod musher Hugh Neff to speak at his daughter's middle school. After the school talk, Hugh and Robert had breakfast at a local restaurant and talked dogs. Robert told him of his intentions, and he and Hugh agreed to stay in touch. In March of 2010, Robert was in Anchorage for a conference put on by Chris Fuller of Iditarod Leadership, and he met Hugh for the ceremonial start. He is internally grateful for Hugh allowing him the chance to handle for his team and to see him off on this latest attempt at the last great race. Robert met a realtor while up in Alaska and exchanged information. Over the spring, his motivation was to do whatever he could to start the process of training for the Iditarod again. He had decided to name his team after our good buddy and run from this point forward under the Team Aneke banner. Robert and I had decided long ago that if Aneke could not be at the finish line when he crossed under the Burled Arch in Nome, that we would spread his ashes along the Iditarod Trail. The next few months took Robert to Minnesota, California, and Alaska twice, looking for a property that would allow us to build our dream and have the ability to run sled dogs again. Living in the suburbs of Denver with a yard that you could literally spit across and an HOA restriction of just three dogs and absolutely no barking, it was time to move. On a whim, Robert contacted the realtor friend in Alaska, and he found us a place. It is an Iditarod veteran's home that is within miles of the official start of the Iditarod in Willow, Alaska. Nicole and Robert flew up over the 4th of July weekend and started the process of buying the place. On Monday, July 12th, we officially signed the paperwork to own the home in Alaska. Later that day, sometime while we were all at work, we think that Aneke suffered a stroke. When we returned home, he could lift his head, but he seemed to be paralyzed. One of his eyes was dilated and would not retract. Robert spent the night with him on the floor of our bedroom and cried while holding him in his arms. By the next morning, Aneke had gotten progressively worse, and we decided to take him to our vet, Dr. Holly Cogswell of Aurora Animal Hospital. We had decided long ago that we wanted to make Aneke's last few days as comfortable as possible and not to intervene with treatments that would most likely just make him more sick. By this time, his dementia had gotten worse, and we think he had cancer on his thyroid. We spoke many times to Dr. Cogswell, and we had her on our radio show to talk about canine dementia. We felt that the only person in the world that could guide us in our time of need was Dr. Cogswell. Aneke passed over the Rainbow Bridge at our veterinarian and also now our dear friend Dr. Cogswell office. Tyler, Nicole, and I took Aneke inside and stayed with him during his Passover. Tyler, who is 15 now, was steady and strong for his mom and little sister, but eventually broke down. Aneke had been their best friend for 11 years of their short lives. That afternoon, Robert was a wreck, and he could hardly contain his emotions. It is funny how much our dogs hold on to our heartstrings so tight. Robert drove to Camp Hale near Leadville, Colorado, almost 140 miles from our home in Denver, the site of our first sled dog race in Colorado and officially the start of the Team Aneke legacy. Robert performed a Native American ceremony for our dear friend, helping him cross safely into the spirit world. He was amazed how vigorously he sang the songs and how much passion he had in his voice. He hadn't sung those songs in years, and it was like he read the lyrics yesterday. Robert held his composure until he made it back to I-70 near Copper Mountain Ski Resort, and he completely lost it, crying his eyes out all the way to Georgetown, some 50 miles away. He regained his thoughts and quickly realized that Aneke knew it was time to go. It was bizarre. We had just signed the papers on the house in Alaska the same day he let go, and it was like he was saying, "It's okay, my friend. I have done my job. Now go do yours." Robert quickly emailed his good friend Sid Corpy in Minnesota that had recently wrote a book on pet loss, Good Grief, Finding Peace After Pet Loss. She and Robert corresponded many times over email that day, and she had emphasized that pets have an uncanny ability to know when it is time to go. Aneke did. In August, Robert will be heading to Alaska to start building our racing kennel with hopes of running the Iditarod in 2013 under the Team Aneke banner. It is just something he has to do. Robert has thought about it since the first day with a dog team in those Georgia mountains. He knows a lot of mushers that have had this dream, and many pursue it. Many call it the musher's bug. Once it gets in your veins, it's hard to contain. His plan, at least for now, is to stay in Alaska for 6 months out of the year and the other months in Denver. We plan to keep Denver Dog Works in operation and spend our summers here, at least until Nicole, now 13, and wanting to be a veterinarian. Do you think those early years in the kennel had anything to do with it? Goes to college. It will take me at least a year to get the house in order up there. It is truly a musher's cabin with a working outhouse that we can use in an emergency if we need to, and high-speed internet. All the luxuries of home, right? But Robert has tremendous drive and motivation, but no carpentry skills. Luckily, there is DIY Network on DirecTV. The kids and I will stay back while this chapter of our lives continues to be written, but one thing is for sure, Aneke's spirit is in our hearts. Being so close to the Iditarod Trail will allow Robert to fulfill his promise to spread his rescued friend's ashes in the spot that we have talked so much about over the years, and then Aneke's spirit will make the stars shine just a little brighter to guide all of us on our way to never forgetting our dreams. On this day, Aneke, my dear friend, wear your silver harness with pride, and we will see you on the trail.
So that was our tribute to Aneke, and right now we're going to do our Vet Corner Minute, and just so happens that Dr. Holly Cogswell is talking about euthanasia.
Hi, this is Dr. Holly Cogswell with Aurora Animal Hospital. Today I want to tackle the very difficult and often heartbreaking topic of euthanasia. None of us want to say goodbye to our loved ones, our family members of dogs and cats, but often when the quality of life is no longer present for them, we have to make that decision. The hardest thing is deciding when it is time. I encourage people to go to your veterinarian, have a physical exam, have friends and family who maybe haven't seen your pet in a while come by, and they can often give you a new perspective on whether or not your dog is truly suffering, whether or not they are themselves, are they happy. If a dog can no longer play, can't eat, can't get up to go outside to go to the bathroom on their own, often can't walk, occasionally that is your sign that you get that they're no longer having a good quality of life. But again, get your veterinarian involved because they can often treat chronic pain, different things that might help you put this decision off a little bit longer. Once you have made the decision that it is time to say goodbye, then you have to decide who's going to be there. Some people choose not to be present. I certainly understand it's a very difficult moment. Other people would never dream of not being there holding their pet at that last moment. Deciding whether or not children should be present is an important decision. I do encourage people who do include their children to not call it putting the animal to sleep. I think that could be confusing for children. I think it's okay to call it what it is, that we're letting our pet go because they're in chronic pain, they're no longer happy, and we're allowing them to die. A lot of people want to have their other pets present there. They think it'll be less confusing for them. I think these pets already know that the animal's very ill and that they're going to die, and I think it can be hard on owners and hard on those pets to be present at a euthanasia. It can be very distracting as well, so I usually discourage that. I want to talk a little bit about what to expect in the actual euthanasia to take away a little bit of that mystery. At Aurora Animal Hospital, we'll either do the euthanasia at the hospital in the privacy of a quiet room, or we will often go to a person's house and perform it there. Sometimes that's easier for a client and often easier for the dog or cat as well. We always put an intravenous catheter in. That's kind of the catheter that you get when you go to the hospital to get fluids. That way there's no injection, no shot, no pain, nothing scary for the pet. Then what we do is give an injection of a barbiturate, a sedative, which is called sodium pentobarbital, and it really is just an overdose of a sedative. So it's a lot like going under anesthesia for your pet. It's very peaceful, very smooth, actually kind of pleasant. It's the same as being put under anesthesia where you remember counting back from 10 and maybe you remember saying 7, but you really don't remember much more from there. So it's very peaceful and pain-free for your pet. In us on the other side, it's very difficult to watch. I encourage owners to lay on the ground, hold their pet, talk to them as they're going under the influences of the drug and say goodbye. What we're going to experience is the dog closes their eyes. They often will take a deep breath, have a nice, heavy, relaxing sigh. Then they do stop breathing, and then the heart does stop. At that point, your veterinarian will listen to the heart, pronounce them dead. I usually, at that point, leave the room and allow you as much time as you need to kind of hold that animal and grieve. After that, cremation is usually the best option to take care of their body. You can have them cremated with other animals. You can have the ashes returned to you. That's become a more popular option. That's something that I used to never do, and now I always do. It's very difficult to have to say goodbye to your loved one and really only have their dog collar left and their, you know, water bowl. I think now having the ashes really gives me a lot of comfort, having something physical that has weight to it that I can hold when I miss them. You can also scatter those ashes on the beach or in the mountains or in their favorite place in the backyard. So this is a very difficult topic, but as I said, all of us are going to have to face the loss of our loved ones at some point. If you have any more questions about this topic or any other, please email us at live@dogdoctorradio.com. If you would like to learn more about me or Aurora Animal Hospital, please go to auroraanimalhospital.com.
And we are back. Michelle, anything else you want to say?
I'd like you to share one good memory about your dog, and then I'll share mine.
It was said in the story about how we always got to share cheese every night before going to bed.
You know, 3 days after we picked up Aneke at the airport, you went to Minnesota on a business trip, and Aneke was not used to our home or the kennel or anything, and I opened the back door to an unfenced yard, and he took off on me. And I was barefooted, and it was fall in Colorado, and I ran 2 miles down a dirt road barefooted chasing after him, and the whole way he let me get about 3 feet from him, and then he'd turn and run. Such a typical Siberian. But I eventually caught him, and then he never took off from me again, so I think that that was his way of letting me know that I had to earn his trust.
And that is very typical with Siberians. And just to clarify, it was spring when we got him.
It was spring.
We got him in March of 2000.
The snow was still on the ground.
It was. Anything else, Michelle?
No, I just hope that everybody out there can share a story with us via email and, you know, let us know how your dog touched your heart.
And next week we're going to have Sid Corpy on, the author of Good Grief, Finding Peace After Pet Loss. She was on our show about a year and a half ago, right when her book first was published, and she plans to be on again, not only to talk to us about the passing of our friend, but how other people can find peace at pet loss as well.
And, yeah, and the book is a wonderful addition to our library. We do have it for sale on our website, and if you guys would like a copy, be sure to contact me. It's not a problem.
And on tomorrow's show, Sunday, we're going to have our continuing series on the dog sledding legends. This week we're talking about the Lombards.
Yes, and if you have not heard Mushu Huskies and you are a Dog Doctor Radio fan, tried and true, give the Mushu Husky show a listen. It's a little bit lighter. Sometimes the shows are a little bit shorter, but right now in the off season for mushing, we are definitely talking about those legends of dog sledding, and it is quite interesting. There's some mushers out there that not everybody hears about that are getting some good recognition from our show.
That is true, and probably next weekend will be my last weekend here in Denver for at least 3 or 4 months. I'm planning on heading up to Alaska, most likely the beginning of the following week, and Michelle and I will be apart for a while, but we need to get up there, we need to get started. Now that we do own the home up there, we need to make sure that it is all, the hatches are battened down, as they say.
Quoting Bugs Bunny, batten down those hatches.
There you go. So we're looking forward to that, and we will continue to broadcast Mushu Huskies and the Dog Doctor Radio Show. As a matter of fact, on tomorrow's show, we're going to try our first long-distance Skype-to-Skype broadcast of Mushu Huskies. Michelle is going to be broadcasting in one location, and I'm going to be broadcasting in another. So we're going to see how it works over the airwaves. We've always struggled a little bit with hosting both of these radio shows over the internet on Skype using GarageBand, and now we're introducing not only GarageBand but also a PC and an Apple product at the same time.
Thank God you're a tech nerd.
Well, we'll see how it goes. So if there are some technical difficulties with Mushu Huskies, just bear through it. We'll get it all worked out. And by the time we do our first episode live from Denver, Colorado, and Mushu Huskies in Willow, Alaska, we're going to make sure that it works out just fine. Michelle, what do you want to close with today?
Nothing. I just would like to bless all the pets that have touched everyone's lives and have crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. Recognize that they still look down upon you every now and then and say their hellos.
Never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.